need to go and make sure.
No.
Yeah, I'm on.
Mine wasn't.
Oh. Yeah, I just got to stir it because I left it on high, so we've got to keep this real tight today.
You just stir it up?
No, because I think by the time, I actually might need to like drop the mic for a second, like in 20 minutes, just to check on the mushrooms and maybe put on slow or something.
Okay.
Well, that's 2 seconds. Listen, we're recording at night. This is what happens at night.
Well, I'm pretty sure we had decided to record before you decided to put stuff in the slow cooker. But anyway.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be ready at exactly 7 o'clock. And it's quite right now 6:45. Because you were like, I'll be home at 6. So I'm like, great, you'll be home at 6. Blah, blah, blah. But you fucking waffle on. You come in. You know, you fucking swing your dick around.
This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick?
Nice one.
The only podcast that will keep you up to date with our slow cooking procedures.
Yeah, it's going
to
be terrible.
I am Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of canned soup school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. That's a little in-joke one. You guys don't know what the fuck we're talking about. And in the blue corner is the Italian Galadine. It's it's the woman who will rip your fucking arms off if you don't like canned soup. It is Kelly Big Whoop. Wanna fight about it? Fastuca.
Listen.
Here she is.
Yeah, shut up. Listen.
Can we please do AEW Dynamite on this podcast?
If we
at
do
one
a
point?
Podcast. A special
Come
edition.
Come on, let's do one.
If we do a special edition about wrestling, I would really love my brother to be the third mic.
He doesn't watch AEW.
Yeah, but if we watch like when we watch like Wembley All In or something,
yeah,
and we get him to watch it and then we do it, I reckon he'd okay. be good on it.
Yeah. All right, well, let us know if you want another Fastuca on the podcast.
Anyway, fucking, okay, so here's it.
Listen.
That's
Max Caster from AEW.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
And Collision. And sometimes Rampage.
Because I always get them confused with the Elite.
There's the Acclaimed.
But they're the Acclaimed.
Who? Yeah, the reason why you get confused is because the Elite, you when we first started watching it, you called them the hairdressers because they looked like hairdressers.
Yeah.
And then the Acclaimed have scissors on their tights. I think that's why you confuse the two of them.
Well, anyway, so the soup thing. So I've put a meal in the slow cooker and instead of using stock, the ingredients said use canned soup. Condensed chicken soup, you know. So I'm like, yo, righto, no worries. And basically what happens is you put the chicken, the soup, and then all of the ingredients, like all the bullshit, salt and pepper and garlic and whatever.
All the
and then the rice, you put a cup of rice.
I want to see a cooking show hosted by
Kelly Fastuca go, right, here's the bullshit. And then you put the rice in. So it's been cooking for nearly 4 hours in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
And I just tried some of the rice.
Rice
and
still not cooked.
The rice kind of tasted like it wasn't cooked. It's been 4 hours. And I don't know what to do. But then I just chucked some mushrooms in because I'm like, whatever. And then I'll put some spinach in. And look, if you don't like it, I've given you that you got a veto. If you're like,
got
baby.
Got a Danny DeVito.
You got a Danny DeVito. If you don't like it. Like, I will just meal prep it for other nights for myself. It's okay. I will feel bad because I did cook it, but I'm not. I'm going to feel worse if you eat a meal you hate.
Kelly and I have had this ongoing debate for 3 years because we've pretty much been together for 3 years now. And it is, if someone cooks something for you and you don't like it, I would rather die than not eat that thing.
Yeah.
Now, here are some examples of things that I can't eat. Well, I literally can't eat watermelon. Watermelon will make me sick. So that's one thing where I'll be like, hey, sorry, bro, can't eat watermelon to make me sick. But stuff that I just don't like the taste of, like mashed potato for whatever.
Yeah.
If I was at someone's house and this has happened, like, so
they made you mashed potato, would you eat it?
I fucking ate it in London. I was in London.
Oh, you dickhead.
The band I was in broke up and I had 4 days before I was going back to Melbourne. I slept on a friend's couch and that night, Chris Seymour, shout out to Seymour, and his partner at the time made me bangers and mash because it was an English hearty meal. It was the middle of winter and I was a rake. I was literally like 56 kilos or something. And they made mashed potato and I ate the whole thing. And I hated every second of it. I'm sorry, Seymour, if you're listening. It's not your mashed potatoes. It's all mashed potatoes. But I'd rather die. Whereas Kelly is like, you've got to tell the person it's fine. You can't, life's too short. You can't go through life eating stuff that you hate just so people don't get offended.
I will like eat it, not say anything, but I'll kind of like, if I leave stuff that I don't like, I'll be like, oh, I had a really big meal. Oh, I've got a sore tummy. I'll make up an excuse not to eat it. So I'll do both, not eat it and not hurt someone's feelings. Anyway, what have you...
But Kelly is now paranoid that everything she makes is terrible and I just eat it because I'm
insane. I have no idea if it's terrible or not.
No, you make...
No, I can kind of tell because...
You make a good food though.
No, I can kind of tell when you don't like it because you're like kind of quiet and you won't go for seconds or like when you make something, like you made a really awesome chicken...
spinach.
What was it? It was like had potatoes in it.
It was just like a...
Malaysian curry. Kind of
like a Malaysian curry, like green curry. But it had... with spinach, potato and chicken in it.
Oh, it was so delicious. And I'm like... Dale Kerrigan from the fucking castle. I'm like, oh my god, this is delicious. And I like really pat him on the back. But when I cook for him, I don't get the same pat on the back. Like I don't get the same stooks. This is the best meal you've ever made. Oh my god. Like you just go, I have to ask and go, is it good? And you'd be like, yes, delicious. Yes, delicious. And even though, yeah, it's delicious, it's nice, I feel like I give you more. When your meals are delicious, I give you more. And because you don't give me more, I'm like, he hates it. But you're also very, very particular when it comes to food and things that you like and stuff. So
it's hard to please you. I don't think I am at all.
It is hard to please you.
I will eat anything or drink anything that people give me, but I will have an opinion on it like everything on planet Earth. Hey, does something exist? You can bet Damien's got an opinion on it. Speaking of opinions...
What have you watched this week?
I've watched heaps.
All right, well, let's...
Watched heaps, mate.
All right, well, keep it tight, baby.
I got... What do you want to hear about? I've got Welcome to Wrexham, end of season two. Got Bachelor Party starring a very young Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah, Bachelor
I've
Party.
I've got... fuck, what else? There was more than that. I can't remember. They're the only two that come to mind, really.
Bachelor Party, has it aged well?
No.
I bet you it has not.
No, but like, it's not as sexist as I thought it was probably going to be. I mean, it's bad. That part of it is bad. The actual film itself is bad. And I would say that Tom Hanks is not great.
Yeah.
Completely over the top. Is delivering the lines fine and stuff? And there's a couple of like, look, I'll put my hand up. There was four or five times during this film that I laughed, right? Because it's just dumb shit.
I like the bit when the guy falls through the, lands on a car, falls off a building, lands on a car.
His ass falls through the. And they both kiss the guy's ass.
Yeah. And you can see the hair on his butt. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I suppose you've got to take into consideration that only maybe a couple of these types of films had been made previously. So it's a template for a kind of frat movie, I suppose. Mm. But I don't know when this kind of happened to me because a lot of the time when I was younger, I would just go with it. But if I don't like the protagonist, I'm not in. You know,
I think
that's a really important thing in screenwriting and in making any kind of film or TV. You've got to be with the protagonist, right? And Tom Hanks is a dickhead. Mm. And his friends are dickheads. Mm. Like, there's not a redeemable feature among them. And Tom Hanks's arc is that he doesn't have sex with any sex workers at his bachelor party.
What a hero.
That proves that he loves his girlfriend, who is stunning, by the way.
Yeah.
Like just an absolute stunning woman to the point where I'm like, have I seen this woman before? How come I... And then I looked up her IMDb. And the other thing that shows you that this is a bad film is that everybody else involved in it besides Hanks has done fuck all. Like nothing. The acting in this film, it's kind of got a weird like 50s teen film thing about it, because like a band plays at the party just halfway through the film. Like a band shows up, plays a full song.
So good.
With like Tom Hanks and his friends like dancing around in the background and stuff.
It's so good.
The only thing I did like, he's got a friend who shows up from primary school who is married and is just like miserable. But there is a running joke about him trying to kill himself throughout the whole party. Like he's trying to drown himself in a bath that doesn't have enough water in it. He tries to cut his wrist with an electric razor. Like, you know, just dumb. Just Kelly's shaking her head in disgust. What I saw though, like the film is bad. Like, I gave it 1 star on Letterboxd. I was like, I don't know why I watched this. But there was, by the end of the film, I was like, there are, I feel like there's DNA in people that I do like in this film. Like, I feel like Kevin Smith would have loved this film as a kid. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, Mallrats, you know, Clerks and Mallrats in a way is influenced by a film like this.
We watched it. I remember us watching it and looking back now going, oh, my God, my parents
kids should not have been with this. Boobs everywhere, drug use. There's a donkey takes a whole bunch of cocaine and dies. there's, like, pimps and sex workers and it's, I mean, it's a romp. You know what I mean? But it's not good. And Tom Hanks is, like, if this was Tom Hanks's breakout role, I don't know what other people were seeing that I'm not seeing. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Here we go. Cue the epic silence before I say this. Tom Hanks, overrated as an actor. There we go.
Well, this is the Tom Hanks era where he was a comedy actor.
I know he started off doing comedies and stuff. Yeah, but like I watched Turner and Hooch last year and it was the same thing. His idea of comedy is big, is exaggeration. So he's always yelling and screaming and it's not funny. Yeah,
but he also did that in League of Their Own and was the best thing about that film. Like Jimmy Dugan is an incredible fucking character.
When I say overrated, I'm not saying bad. There's obviously films he's, but like in Saving Private Ryan, he's good.
The point is with him is that he was a comedy actor who did that. I will get there. Just leave it with me. Is that he was, and it wasn't until like Philadelphia was the big thing because he was the comedy guy, and then he won the Oscar, and then the year after he did Forrest Gump and won the Oscar again two years in a row.
Forrest Gump sucks.
Forrest Gump is such a dumb book. It's a stupid book and it's a stupid film and it can go suck it my
fucking
dick.
Fucking sucked at the time. I didn't even want to see it at the time. Let me tell this story real quick.
Okay.
My mum allowed me for the first time in my life to go and watch a film on my own. And there were two choices. Her and her friend and daughters were going to see Forrest Gump. Mm. And the only other film that I could see was Legends of the Fall.
Oh, my God.
And I went and saw Legends of the Fall.
Oh, God.
And I stand by my choice. I'd still, 25 years later, I would rather watch Legends of the Fall than fucking Forrest Gump.
Yeah, oh, man. I was such a Brad Pitt fucking honky-tonk back in the day. I love Brad Pitt. He was so hot in Legends of the Fall.
A Brad Pitt stan when I was 13 years old. I'm still a Brad Pitt stan at 43 years old, and I don't care.
He was so hot in that film, man. Like, he was just like, oh.
It's fucking smoldering. The way I feel about Ryan Gosling and Austin Butler now is how I felt about Brad
Anthony
Pitt
Hopkins. Dude.
It's a good film.
It's a great fucking movie.
It's a good movie. But anyway... That's good. Bachelor Party. It's interesting as a timepiece, but besides that, Welcome to Wrexham Season 2. Holy shit, man. It took so long for us to get through this
season. Shit season. And then in the last two episodes, they fucking smashed face in. We both were howling. It was so...
howling.
It was, like, just the way it was shot. Beautifully shot. Like they do this thing in Welcome to Wrexham where there's a moment that you watch in the game and you just see a player about to like kick a ball and it's really, really important. Like he's about to kick, oh, he's going to get the goal. And then they go and they just cut to, they cut it before we know what happened, and it cuts to him like in his backyard with his kids, and then and then they do the interview with that player, and it's like, oh, you know, this player, you know, he's like had to have time off because, you know, my wife got a brain tumor, and like they said, it is a
tumor,
yeah, and they said, you know, like it's been like 6 months, and they're like, maybe you should go back because it's like to kind of keep busy and distracting, you know what I mean? And he did, and it was like, and then he kicked this guy. Incredible. And another kid's got autism. Like, everyone's got something. And then another couple, the one that fucking broke me was the couple that and you just see, and it's again like this is like, are they gonna be in the league, are they fucking, and like this kid just like, is a goal gonna vroom, and it just goes to him with his wife, and they're just a young couple, and she's pregnant. She's like, yeah, you know, it's like really nice and stuff. Like, you know, like blah, blah, blah. She's like, you know, our little boy last year or whatever, you know, when I was pregnant, you know, our little boy was born asleep. Oh, my God. It broke my fucking heart. The way that they said that, my little boy was born asleep and he was 7 months old. So, you know, I had to give birth to him. Fuck me, what a way to like talk about like stillbirth, and now she's pregnant, and then, you know, like it's, things are looking well, and it was just horrific hearing the story. And then at the end, I had the parade.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoiler alert, all for season 2. Spoilers, no facts. The team was having a parade through the city because it obviously did something very good. And then,
well, you've told them now. They got promoted.
Yeah.
There's no need to hide it now.
And they're on their thingo. And then all of a sudden it says the whole like they expected, you know, 15,000 people to be there. It was like 60,000.
40,000.
40,000 or whatever. And then they were like, plus one new town member. And it just, like, it was a shot, like a video shot from on the bus, because like they're on these big double decker buses in the middle of the town going through the street.
He wasn't with the rest of the guys on the champions buses because his daughter was being born that morning.
That fucking morning.
She was born and was so healthy that they took her, or was the night before or whatever. They'd already taken her out of the hospital and were just standing on the side of the street waiting.
But it was
to
just such a
guys.
Perfect shot because it was like the way they said it, they go, plus one extra member, and it just cuts to a woman holding a baby, a pram, like a little family. And then a coach was like, they're here. Oh, they're here. And it was like she was born, you know, blah, blah, blah. The baby was born that morning. And then in brackets it goes, no, really, she was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Oh, man, God, I'm just getting emotional talking about it again. I also, I'll tell you, I watched, I think it's on Stan.
I didn't even get to talk about Wrexham.
Oh, okay.
All I was going to say is that the last two episodes of season two, I don't know whether it was repairs on the run or...
They just ran out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, but they could have done the exact same thing with season two that they did with season one. Season two, they tried to stop talking to people in the town. They didn't show the actual games as much. There was all this other bullshit going on of like, oh, King Charles is here, or we're updating our physio room, or like, who gives a fuck? It was such a bad decision for them to have come up with such a fantastic formula. You know, I know like Drive to Win or whatever, the F1 had also come out around the same time, but basically this sort of like, this is how you could package sport from now on is this, right? And people will watch it and get into it. And then in the second season, they just decided to drop all of the structures that had worked so well in season one until
last few episodes.
The last two episodes, where it was like, well, why weren't you doing this the whole time? I've had to sit through 14 episodes of dross to get... And it was great because all of a sudden, all the people that we had come to know in the town in season one were back again, talking about what it was going to mean to them for Wrexham to go up into the next division and blah, 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 blah.
The guy
blah.
From the DVD place.
Yeah, the DVD guy was there, two little old coffee ladies.
I can't talk about it.
Crazy man who got sober, guy who runs the pub. Like, it was great to see, you know, I mean, it's nice to see Rob and Ryan because they're the ones who own the team and stuff, but there was just a lot of like the support staff in this season, I could not give a fuck. So if a season three's already started, they've already started releasing episodes. But like, if I dip into the first episode of season three and they start doing that again, I think I'm out.
Yeah.
With the show.
Yeah. So I watched I think it's four episodes, documentary series, of course. On Stan about the Menendez brothers.
Oh my god,
that was just so.
How do you? I'm your husband. I don't understand how you put so much negative information into your brain and not have a nervous breakdown about it.
Sometimes, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's this is. I can't. I probably used to, but I don't listen to like. Murder stories about women, I don't, because I'm sick and tired of that shit.
Sexist.
Yeah, well, I mean, if men stop killing women, then I won't be, you fucks. Because it's just every story starts with, you know, fucking some dude going, "Will you help me find my dog?" And some girl was being polite and then ended up being a sex slave for 11 years.
That's why I can't listen to, as much as I love the show, I can't listen to Last Podcast anymore. Because it's just, I find, like, after a while, I start thinking, like, yeah, it's funny. And I know, like, I know that all those guys are great and they're very careful to, like, talk about the victims and in a really great way and all that sort of thing. But I can't stop thinking about the victims. You know what I mean?
Okay, and it's just but like. Also, I will say that if out of all of the podcasts.
With any of that true crime stuff, I just, like.
Out of all of the podcasts that talk about murder and stuff. They're the ones that don't focus on the women get murdered the most. About, so that's why I like
them
more.
Bub, it's not about them. That's what I just said. I love the podcast. What I'm saying is for me
it's too
personally.
Too negative, the actual subject matter.
Yeah, after a while, I can't not think about the fact that this is real and this happened.
But
and
what
I
about
can't.
When they do like interesting stuff? So like they just did a whole big thing on Patty Hearst. It's so
that's
interesting.
Why I come and go to that podcast all the time. Like I have for the last 5, 6 years. I'll have like 2 or 3 months where I listen to heaps of it and then I have a break. Because it's just, it's real, right?
Well, like, this one here, because we were alive when this happened, but we didn't really know it as much as, and it came just after OJ, and just finding out all of the details about the case, because before I watched the doco I was very like two spoiled rich kids who killed their parents because they wanted all the money.
You know what I know about the Menendez brothers?
What?
Is Ben Stiller's portrayal of the Menendez brothers in Cable Guy. You know the side story that's going on whole time?
No, I don't remember Cable Guy.
Ah, mate, Cable Guy. It's Jim Carrey's best film.
I haven't watched it in 20-something years.
Watch Cable Guy, Ben Stiller, who directed and I think wrote the movie. There's this side story going on about, like, they're called, like, the Menendez brothers something. And because everyone's wrapped up in the case in this film and it's fucking funny shit.
Anyway, it's just really interesting because it just kind of showed me a lot more bullshit that I didn't know at the time. And because it came after OJ, the DA's office were looking for a very, very big win in that area. And it kind of alludes to these guys being the victim, the sort of lambs to be slaughtered. Because they did kill their parents. But there's a whole, and the first trial was a mistrial, or not a mistrial. The jurors were locked; they couldn't decide. And then in the new trial, they had a bunch of evidence could not be brought to the new trial, and the defense just had fucking nothing to go by. So basically, it sounded like when it was happening that they said that their dad used to like molest them and that they just said that as a defense or whatever. And that was kind of like a joke for a long time. But when you go through the documentary, it's pretty, pretty bad. And that, these kids were like fucking pushed to the limit, you know, because there was abuse happening in the house. And it's come out subsequently that the dad also abused another kid And then they interviewed his the twins, like their or the brothers' friends, where they were like, yeah, we like from a young age, the boys were like, yeah, dad always touches our penis. Does your dad touch your penis? Like, so it was fucked. So what should have happened is, long story short, they got sentenced for murder, premeditated murder, which is life in prison, and they will be in prison for life. They can't ever go out. And that's why the DA's office went so hard. But today, that same case, like someone who's been abused and abused and then kills their attacker,
yeah,
that would be 8 years of manslaughter. So the whole documentary is really about why do these guys get fucking life when really it should be 8 years. And they talk about – and then like talk to Corey Feldman because he's like talking about, you know, people talk about sexual abuse and it's, you know, how horrible it is. But the minute you say it's, you know, it's a, you know, a man to a man or something, people don't take it seriously and it's like a joke. Which I do, which when he talked about that and they talked about a whole bunch of people about that kind of element of it, because it was little boys and a dad, it was different. And that was so fucked about it. And because it came after OJ, that's why the DA was so fucked. And then in the new trial, they couldn't bring up any of the sexual abuse in the new trial. There was something, a caveat, or blah, 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 blah. So if they can't bring up the sexual abuse in the new trial, then it does look like they just murdered their parents.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that they murdered them because it was fucked. Anyway, really, really good. Good. Well done, Doco. Anyway, that's me. And I'll talk about Godfather 2 next week. Because when he came home tonight from work, I had Godfather 2 on in the background and a new puzzle. Anyway, this week's movie, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. You know what? I liked it. I liked it, and I feel like a lot of people want to shit on it. I don't give a shit. It knows exactly what it is. It is another Ghostbusters movie, and they drag out the oldies and they put in the newbies. Like, I honestly feel like it knows. It knows that it's schmarmy and dumb in that kind of element, and I kind of like it.
Jim's made an appearance on the podcast.
Hello.
The first 10 minutes of this film is a little rough because we find the family, the Spangler family. Jim, shut up, mate. In New York, running the Ghostbusters, like Ghostbusters are back and they're being run out of the firehouse. But the dialogue in that first 5-10 minutes, we see them being, it's not bad filmmaking because we see that they've like become quite accomplished at ghostbusting.
Yeah.
Like they're, you know, they're still kind of quite, you wouldn't say that they're slick, but they get the job done, right? Yeah,
and they do a lot of homework.
The fucking dialogue, man. It's that dialogue I've talked about before, that Joss Whedon, fucking Buffy. It happens in every superhero thing I ever watch where there's like six people and everybody's quipping. Everyone's the funny one.
Which no one talks that fast.
So frustrating because Paul Rudd is the dad. Just let Paul Rudd do it.
He's great.
Not everyone has to be the funny one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's
But anyway, the first 5-10 minutes is a little bumpy. And then I would say that it's a perfectly serviceable, fun family adventure film. It is and I would say as well, like, it's very obvious that you're being worked over in the sense of like, these are your new Ghostbusters.
But also,
these are the new Ghostbusters that you like.
But also, they give you a whole bunch of nostalgia in it too. Yeah,
but the, you know, Bill and Dan and all those guys and Ernie Hudson are there. So you don't feel completely neglected. You know, it's not like you just left completely with a bunch of new Ghostbusters and you're like, oh, this is scary. Like,
no, they do.
They're the same thing as that first film. They're slowly folding the new Ghostbusters in with the old Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but I love...
And making a nicer pizza bar.
I love that the new mayor of the city, like he's in his chair. And so you know that there's going to be a great reveal. And he does it like... And then he turns around and it's Needle Dick from Ghostbusters 1.
Yes, this man indeed does know how, does not have no... Oh, fuck, I fucked it.
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
Fuck, I completely
Walter Peck. They got the same guy. So Walter Peck is back as the mayor.
The mayor of New York.
And he's still fucked. And I
he hates the Ghostbusters.
Dude, I loved it.
So stuff like that starts to show up and it's like, oh, well, this is fun. You know what I mean? And like,
so fun.
Jason Reitman, who's a genius, wrote this one. He didn't direct this one. I think he directed the first one. But like, I don't know. It feels like it's all in the family, right? Like Dan Aykroyd's a producer. Jason Reitman has written it. It doesn't, to me, like, I just want to put my hand up. I had no problems with the Lady Ghostbusters film. I actually quite liked it. I just thought the last act was pretty boring. There's a very long ghost fight at the end that just looked like a Marvel film. It was all lightning bolts and, you know. I felt like in this film, were they using practical effects at times here? I felt like that big scary bonehead guy, like the...
So it does say here that they used Kevin Mangold and Ian White served as the puppeteers for Slimer and Garaka, respectively.
Yeah, is so Garaka maybe the big bad?
The big guy.
So it was practical because it kind of felt like it. But look, listen, the most important thing about this film is James Acaster is in it, and he's great. I would say he's the best thing in it.
I think he's really good in it. He plays a new little scientist.
Just out of nowhere, he's essentially like the new Harold Ramis. He's like the science guy who's like, but he kind of is like stern.
But like he's good. He's not like the new scientist who's like dumb and like, no, I'm smart. You know when you get the scientist,
it's not the Jerry Lewis nerd. Like the
what I'm thinking of, he's not that scientist that comes in and he's like the bad guy where he doesn't learn lessons and then everyone goes, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And he's like, I'm smarter than all of you, I know. And then he ends up dying. He's like, good. He know, like it's a good character where he's like clever, funny, but also no. And he's just
knows what's
up. The
character is really well written. He's doing good work in it. Sorry, Jim just started chewing on my pencil. He's doing good work. Like, he's
a lot better
not,
work than Kamal Nanjiani.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck, he's like, terrible in it.
Can I talk about James, please?
Oh,
he's my favorite.
Yes, I know.
Sorry, I'm just getting completely distracted by a dog here who's got his
James
Acaster full lipstick
out. Penis.
Jim's at full lipstick, ladies and gentlemen. yeah, he's just great. I'd never seen him act in anything before. Like, I've only ever seen him do stand-up. And you know why I was so chuffed about it? Because for a period there, he was hosting, like, B-grade fucking comedy panel shows in the UK. And I was like, you are better than this, my man. I don't know what you're... The best stand-up I've seen in the last 10 years. You're my favorite stand-up besides Sam Campbell. Like, you're my two guys. And you shouldn't be wasting your time doing fucking chat shows in the UK. And then just out of nowhere, he's in fucking Ghostbusters.
No one gives him a good enough role to do.
I was so happy. And he's great in it. And hopefully, if they make a third film, he should be in it.
Yeah, he was really good in it. But Kamal, I just don't get it. I don't get why he gets acting
roles.
He's
just in now. He's
so in, but I don't get it.
He's just in Hollywood,
and
he's just going to be, if there's a comedy, he's going to show up in it because he's a comedy guy.
Yeah, I can tell he's acting, and it's just off. It's off center. It doesn't. And when he's acting, there's a scene where he's acting against Dan Aykroyd, and it's just a simple scene. But I'm just like, Dan Aykroyd, this isn't Shakespeare, man. But he is acting the pants out of you.
Yeah. Well, Dan Aykroyd's been doing it for a lot longer than
him. Get someone else who's good.
Get James Acaster, who's great.
James Acaster's good. So why can't I tell? And then a bunch of the younger kids, I can't tell. You know what I mean?
The kids were all right. I thought all the kids in this film were perfectly good.
They are good. It's just, I don't understand why people just have to fucking oh, this person's so in right now. Nah, maybe you could have got someone else. Like, they could have gotten another comedian to do that role. It just was so blah, blah, blah. But look, I kind of enjoy it, man.
McKenna Grace, who plays Phoebe, the main girl.
Yeah.
So, essentially, she's a Ghostbuster. They get busted for, like, sort of fucking up the city. And the mayor is like, we're going to shut you down.
Mate, it's exactly the same as Ghostbusters.
Finds out that she's 16 or 15 or whatever. So, he's like, you have to be at least 18 before you can Ghostbust, right?
Mm.
So, she gets put on the bench. And then ends up, like, having this, like, kind of relationship with a ghost.
Well, so there's another young ghost who she becomes friends with. And obviously, so the whole thing with this character, which I think is kind of cute, you know, and I think it works, is that the whole character of Phoebe is that she is exactly like her grandfather, you know, by Spangler.
Yeah.
Who is no longer with us. She's exactly like him. She's on the spectrum. She's a nerd. And it's that, and that works. Like, you know, like, she has no sense of humor. She's obsessed about ghosts. She's a nerd. Great. And then she's...
Spangler has a sense of humor.
Don't you remember the line in Ghostbusters 2 where he goes, did you ever play with toys as a kid? I had a slinky once, but I straightened it. But anyway, so she befriends like a female ghost, and they have this like friendship, and it's kind of like nice because she's got this little friendship going on with this nice little ghost. And then it turns out that the ghost, all spoilers, no facts, that the ghost, you know, against her will, has kind of like tricked her into doing something, which makes the bad guy kind of, you know, get out of his fucking demon hole, whatever, blah blah blah. But they have this kind of nice relationship, but it was, I kind of got annoyed at the moment because I was like, just be it that she's like made a friend, because she never makes friends because she's so kind of on a spectrum, and people that are on a spectrum sometimes find it really hard to make friends. But she made a little ghost friend, and that's good. But I thought that they were going to try and make it, which they kind of did, that it was like, oh, she's a lesbian and now she's going to like, she's falling in love with this ghost.
I
didn't think it
was
bad.
I thought she was like...
just like kind of pushed it a little bit.
They don't have a relationship. Like, they don't fuck or kiss or anything like that.
But she's got a crush on her.
But she's got a crush on her, and she's like come... she's starting to come to like sexual maturation and is like realizing...
What did you just say? Maturate.
Maturing.
Like maturation?
She's, yeah. It's a real word. Look it
up.
Can
you say it again?
Maturation.
Oh, man, I've never heard that word in my life.
It just means that...
Speaking of being on a spectrum, fuck.
Anyway, she, like, is working out that she's gay. I thought it was fine.
But they never actually say it, which at that part...
I don't think it's heavy-handed. Even if it was heavy-handed, it would have been fine. But, like, I don't...
It wasn't heavy-handed, which is what I liked about it.
Yeah.
Because I, at the moment, in the moment, I was like, oh, don't do this. It actually don't... It doesn't need it. You know when you see movies where they force some weird fucking romance when you're like, don't do that? Romantic comedies is where that is. It doesn't belong here, but... No, it was good, man. And this fucking film got like savage reviews.
The reviews are harsh.
Man, I don't agree.
The vast majority, just looking through Metascore,
yeah.
The reviews here, like the average is 46, and the vast majority of averages are four, like reviews are 40 or under out of 100. That's bullshit.
It's bullshit, man. The storyline works. The nostalgia mixed in with the new stuff works.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, I don't know what you're expecting. Like, to me, it feels like people are scoring that review based on ideas they've got about the film before even going in to watch it. Right?
Yeah,
it's like, I don't want to see another Ghostbusters film. Why the fuck? The only other thing I can think of is that Bill Murray is in it and he was cancelled. And so now, like, all the reviews are just 40, 30, 40 because Bill Murray's in it. But, like, whatever you think about that, the film is fun.
People love the fucking wank fest of the bandies of Ed Sheeran, but this movie is miles ahead of that film.
Well, they're different.
Or Saltburn.
They're very different movies. Saltburn, I'll give you. Like, Saltburn is just a shit fucking film.
Wank.
The people, like, the Banshees of Inisherin, I feel like I need to watch again because I feel like I missed something there. But that is a legitimate art house film that's trying to make a point. The fucking Saltburn is a shitty fucking crap piece of shit that people are trying to transpose meaning onto because they want to like it.
But this was
this is a Hollywood film. This is a Hollywood action family film.
Yeah.
That's a four quadrant film. And I don't know what else you would expect from this movie.
And it's funny and it's ghosts. And also, but they build the tension well. Like, you know, when they find the amulet and things kind of start happening.
By the third act, I was in.
Yes.
I was completely in and 100%. Invested and wanted to know what 100%. Was going to happen with everyone. And,
yeah.
And I think it's because of not necessarily the main family, even though you are interested in their story. It's all the color that comes from the side characters.
Yeah.
The little Asian kid that's like mates
great.
With Spangler is
yeah.
great. James Acaster, who we already yes. mentioned. Dan Aykroyd is having like a little moment where like he is bored and like he's retired but he's bored and he's fucking around with stuff that he doesn't care about and all he really wants to do is be a Ghostbuster. That's all that's all he's ever cared about. And he misses his friends, you know, and like the sort of like they don't only touch on it but like the loneliness of getting older and stuff. Like, and you feel it, like there's a couple of moments where like he has these moments and you really feel that he misses his friends, and it's quite
Ernie
touching.
Ernie Hudson,
you know?
Is so in
Ernie
shape.
Ernie Hudson looks fucking amazing.
He looks fucking incredible.
If you're listening to this, go on IMDb and look up Ernie Hudson's fucking profile pic on IMDb. That boy is
he's
ripped.
He's 78.
78?
78. And he is fucking, he looks so good. Like his face.
Why can't he be running for president? Why can't he be a 78-year-old running for... Like, out of all the 78-year-olds in America...
Let's not get into that.
Why can't he be the 78-year-old?
How many grumps do you give Ghostbusters?
I actually enjoyed it, man. Maybe I'm a bad... Maybe I've got bad taste in movies. Maybe I'm a bad critic. But I just thought... I knew what I wanted going into this film, which is a four-quadrant family adventure film that's fun. And that's what I got. So I'm going to give it 3 grumps out of 5.
Are you giving it 3? I thought you were going to give it more because of Acaster.
Nah, well, a star's probably from Acaster. I'll give it 3.5 because of
Acaster. I'm going to give it 3.5 grumps. And, like, that extra half grump is, like, they would have got 4 grumps, except I cannot. I just don't understand how everyone loves Kamal and Johnny. Like, I just don't think he's fun.
He's a bad actor.
I think he's a terrible actor.
I would say that almost everybody from Silicon Valley is not great at acting.
I just don't think his stand-up's good and blah, blah, blah. But, like, this would have got 4 grumps, but it's 3.5 only because he took away half a grump. Anyway,
yeah.
There you go.
You know what? I'm gonna keep it at 3 because Patton Oswalt showed up in this.
And you hate Patton Oswalt too.
And, you know, professional.
But I actually liked his partner. He was
actually pretty good in it.
Good.
3.5 grumps.
Because he just... He's part of it.
I just don't like his whole shtick of like, I'm a professional geek. I know everything about geek stuff.
It's that, like, kind of suited him. And then I think his role in this was like, what do you call when someone exposition? Is it when someone?
Yeah, exposition. Yeah.
Like he was.
Yeah,
like,
he's the exposition guy.
Yeah, and he did it well.
I just like that comedians of comedy gang. He is the Pilsane, Bamford, Galifianakis, and then him.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Ringo of that group, man. I don't want anything
I
to
like
do.
Ringo.
But anyway, yeah, so 3 and 3.5 grumps.
Okay.
No, 3.5 grumps each.
Yeah, I think people like
check
it.
Check it out. If you got kids, watch it, chuck it on. It's fun.
All right. That's it. Thanks for listening.
We appreciate your support. We love you very much.
We love you very much.
I love you.
Tell your friends. Give us 5 stars.
5 stars. Rate and review. Tell your friends.
Share.
Socials.
Tell your friends. Tell us what you want us to do next.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to keep on doing murder mysteries.
Yeah, can we please? Enough of the murder mysteries,
okay.
Please.
Let's check in next week and see if Damien likes my dinner. All right.
Cliffhanger.
I love you.
Love you too.